Hello and welcome. You've tuned in to the School of Ministry podcast. Paul is your Bible teacher today. If you have questions you would like addressed, let us know. Maybe you have a need in your life and want to know how the Bible gives answers that apply to us today. Feel free to contact us. Now enjoy the lesson.
Hi, you've tuned in to Psalms Questions. And we have a question today of how do I deal with discouragement? So I really want to take this and talk about what is the difference between discouragement and depression? Because many, many people are dealing with depression, and we all deal with discouragement, because discouragement is one of Satan's useful, effective tools against Christians. What is discouragement? That's how we'll start. The American Heritage Dictionary says that to discourage is to deprive of confidence, hope, or spirit, to dishearten or daunt. And there's really stages of discouragement, aren't there? There's a mild discouragement when minor problems and pressures that affect us, they affect our emotions, those things come in. That's a mild. There's strong discouragement where there are major problems and pressures that affect us, even on a spiritual level, so that other people then begin to notice. Those closest to us might think that they have caused that discouragement sometimes. Well, what are the causes of discouragement? At the very basis, I think it's a lie from Satan. Fear, unbelief, or bitterness, or sometimes self-pity, sometimes self-condemnation. Those are all based on Satan's lies. And the root cause is really that we put down our shield of faith. We lose sight of God's ways and God's resources to recognize that sometimes God uses discouragement to our benefit. He is helping us. He is bringing us up. Now, this is opposite of depression, and we're going to look at some of the characters of the Old Testament especially who are deeply, deeply depressed and where that discouragement grew. But one of the benefits of discouragement, it helps us to confirm our need for God. Paul to the Philippians, this is chapter 3, 7 through 11. Let me read it for you. It says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." So that's one of the things that we see. So let me go also and read from Romans chapter 7 and verses 22 through 24. Paul says, "I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And of course, he goes on and says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord that he is brought forward." Paul, even later in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I think it's verses 9 and 10, that he says that God was strengthened and God was promoted by the infirmities that Paul had. So how do we deal with discouragement? Well, we can deal with it by recognizing that sometimes God uses these outside sources, these irritations. He uses all of these various aspects to bring us back to him. That's why we need to establish a time when we are feeding ourselves in the Word of God. We've got to be spending time and encouraging our hearts in the Lord. One of the things I love about David And David's greatest calamity came just a few days before he was made king in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And Satan sometimes brings the greatest offenses against us or the greatest discouragements before God fulfills our expectation. And it's the reason that God warns us not to give up, to keep on. We shall reap if we faint not, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6. How do we encourage our hearts in the Lord? We let God's Spirit work in our spirit. And a wonderful thing to do, and there's you can read through the Psalms. So today is the first, so I read Psalm 1, and then you add 30 to it, so then you would read 31, and then 61, and 91, 121. So that way you read five Psalms, and you go through the whole book of Psalms in a month. And that gives you that time to be encouraged and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our minds, in our wills, in our emotions, that soulish part of man, to deal with our spirit, communicate with our spirits, make every effort to have God's Spirit through His Word communicate to our spirit. We've got to allow not only our minds, but we've got to allow that Spirit that's within us to recognize what He's doing. We meditate on God's truth. What a wonderful thing at night to have a scripture on your mind. What a wonderful thing to hide God's word in your heart. And then as you're going to sleep, think about that. Concentrate on it. Just consider and meditate on that. And that's what that word meditate, it means to bring it up again and again and again. We're not making our minds empty. We are filling our minds. And that's where we can come back and recognize that David dealt with discouragement. Paul dealt with discouragement in the New Testament. You can imagine being thrown in prison. You can imagine all of the things. However, I think the Apostle Paul had something that we don't have. I think he was taken up and given either a vision of heaven. He was taught directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think if we had some of that, we would see a very different place in our world. We need to have a view of what God has in store for us. And we do that by allowing the Word of God to speak to our hearts, to speak to our minds, and to deal with us in those ways. And that's why we can then come back. And let me just mention, when you are in a period of real discouragement, don't make major life-changing decisions. It's so easy for Satan to get us to make major decisions during times when we are not thinking clearly or living or responding by faith. So never doubt in the darkness what God has shown you in the light. So when you're going through those times, just remember what the Lord has shown you. So, we could go on and on, but I want to talk about some areas of depression. We know through the scripture that Job, he lost all of his children. He lost all of his means. Only his wife was left. In the whole book of Job, after everything was taken from him, his health, he still recognized that God was in control. Jeremiah, so depressed for the people of Israel that he wrote the Lamentations. So Jeremiah is not only discouraged, he was discouraged first that his friends had left him, but that he has real cause for being, shall we say, depressed, because he had so many enemies. After being beaten publicly, Jeremiah was so depressed that in Jeremiah 20 and verse 14, he says, "Cursed be the day that I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed." What about Elijah, that great prophet of God, who prays, and for 3.5 years, no rain. God had listened to him and did that as a sign to Israel. Elijah calls for 450 prophets of Baal. and they come up on Mount Horeb, and God wonderfully answers Elijah's prayer, and he slaughtered the 450 prophets. The children of Israel looked, and they said, "No, we will follow after the Lord our God." Had a great and a wonderful victory. That's found in 1 Kings chapter 18. But then Queen Jezebel threatens him, says, "I'm going to do the same thing to you." And he flees, and he's all alone. And you pick up the story in 1 Kings 19. Verse 4, it says, "While he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die." Is that depression? "Lord, I just want to die. I have had enough," he said. "Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Both Jeremiah and Elijah had become suicidal. They just wanted to die. They did not want to live any longer. What about King David? You know, David is such an interesting man. He deals with areas of discouragement, and he deals with great depression. So many of the Psalms were written by King David, that prophet David, after his sin, after he knew God's restoration, and he was able to come back. Not all of them, of course. You'll have to look at each one. And David had those ups and downs. He slayed Goliath. He was chosen by Samuel. But when King Saul tried to kill him, even while he was in his service, can you imagine how discouraged you would get? He was king, and he defeated many, many enemies, but he sins with Bathsheba, kills her husband, and God confronts him through the prophet Nathan. The child that was born did not live. Still through that, David knew that he was going to go where that child was. He could not bring the child back, but that child was safe, and David would see him again. So in Psalms, David expresses how he felt different times. He not only talks about his feelings, but he talks about the depression, the symptoms of depression that it had upon his body. In Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4, he talks about the guilt that he feels. "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groanings all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." I want you to note that if David didn't talk about it, his bones ached. It came about as an aching. How about also in Psalm 38, verse 3, David again talks about some of these symptoms. "Because of your wrath, there is no health in body. My bones have no soundness because of my sin." He's describing that depression. How about Psalm 38, 10 and 11 and 12? David gives even more insight into what's happening inside of him. He says, "My heart pounds, my strength fails me, even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. Those who seek my life set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long they plot deception." David's really expressing how depressed he is. His life is threatened. His friends are not there. He is alone. I think there's also anxiety there, because it says that my heart pounds. Anxiety will take that, will do that. It will zap your strength. He says, "My strength fails me." He is depressed. So what are the signs of depression? I think that's good for us to know. It's easy to say, "Well, I'm so depressed." That's become commonplace, as well as just saying, "You know, I'm so sad." But sadness is not necessarily a sign of what's called clinical depression. And there are so many causes of depression. During the winter, many people feel that there is a seasonal depression because of the lack of sunlight. Or there may be a situation. You might be in some kind of situation right now that is causing depression. That's situational depression. There's clinical depression. The diagnosis of major depressive disorder requires several features that last 2 weeks or more. And what are those? Well, these include feeling hopeless, sad, numb, the loss of interest in activities and those activities that you used to enjoy, a significant change in weight, whether you're losing, lost weight, or gained weight with a change in appetite. It might be sleeping too much or too little. The psychomotor retardation or psychomotor agitation, that is moving slowly or fidgety, sometimes pacing, or some people will also have difficulty not being able to stop speaking. They'll just go on and on and they just can't stop talking. What about feeling of worthless or excessive guilt, low esteem, very low self-esteem? Or how about having difficulty concentrating, difficulty making decisions, or thoughts of death, maybe even with the plans for a suicide or without a plan for suicide, maybe thinking and concentrating on, boy, if I were dead, everything would just be so good. Or struggling to function at home or at work. When we note how Jeremiah, Elijah, David mentioned some of these symptoms, all of them had feelings of hopelessness, loss of interest. They felt like they were so alone. Low energy, excessive guilt, thoughts of death. Another condition of depression is called dysthymia. And it's unlike that major depression episode that lasts for weeks. Sometimes this dysthymia can last for years. It's a low-level depression marked by symptoms of hopelessness, low self-esteem, low appetite, low energy, difficulty concentrating, and sleep changes. Both major depression and dysthymia can be treated. But what are those signs? What do we want to be looking for? And one of the things that I encourage you is to come back to the Word of God. There's no harm in taking medications if you need that. Sometimes there's serotonin levels that have gotten out of whack, and you just need to have a chemical balance that comes back. Nothing wrong with that. God's given the doctors and the medicine, those in the medical field, expertise to understand how that goes. We should not be ashamed of that whatsoever. But we want to be doing our part by strengthening ourselves, building ourselves up in the spiritual level. Because I know that the Spirit of God deals with our spirit. And when you begin to operate and allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you, in those areas where you have talents, where you have gifts, where you have natural abilities, pretty soon you begin to see, oh, the Lord can use me. The Lord can do something. And those other lies of Satan, that you're worthless, you have no place, you have no purpose, there's nothing you can do. And sometimes we, because of illnesses, maybe because you're bedridden, you can't get up, you can't do anything. But let me tell you, we need prayer warriors. And I believe that some of the missionaries of years past that have been bedridden because of diseases, some of their most productive years were spent while they were bedridden and had the time and the nothing else they could do but to pray. We need prayer warriors. If you can't get up and you don't feel like you can do anything else in the work of the Lord, you can pray. And we need prayer warriors. Well, what are the signs of anxiety? Because many people are dealing with anxiety today, and it might be with a rapid heart rate, nervousness, or feelings of dread, sometimes fast breathing, rapid breathing, and twitching of muscles. We can also have irritability and difficulty concentrating on things other than the fear that you're focused on. Now, David mentions that rapid heart rate and feelings of dread. David was anxious, and it led to his depression. And David's body was stuck in that flight or fight mode for too long, and it had worn out. And when anxiety persists for too long, we become very tired. the energy is sapped from our bodies. We have negative thoughts, tired bodies. Depression can sit in. And when these symptoms begin to interfere with your ability to function at home or at work, it's a good time to spend time with the Lord. And maybe we need to see a doctor or a therapist. Maybe that, and there's nothing wrong with that. I want to encourage you to do all that you can to keep yourself healthy and right in the right relationship with Christ. And that's why we need to ask ourselves, am I suffering from depression or anxiety? Am I suffering from just being discouraged, or is this real depression? So those are some of the aspects that we can look at, we can consider, and we'll talk more about this, Lord willing, in the future, because there are great benefits to our recognizing depression, discouragement, anxiety, the differences in those, but most of all, how Christ overcomes. He is the answer. He is the way that we can find hope and help. There's only hope in Christ. I'll just close out now and say God bless you. I hope this was a source of encouragement to you.
Thank you for joining us today, and we hope you enjoyed the message. We trust you've been encouraged, challenged, or generally built up spiritually. If this lesson has sparked questions, or perhaps you have questions of a different topic, let us know. Our information is given on the website, or can reach us at sclofministry@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Is no longer dead.